Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
I'm speaking today on the ministry of the Holy Spirit as it relates to prayer. We read in this great chapter, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You notice here in this passage, the Apostle Paul begins with the word likewise, or with the phrase in the same way. That means that this is connected to something that he's already been saying. I want you to look at verses 22 up above the passage, the verses we just read. Verses 22 and 23, he writes, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting the adoption, the redemption of our body." And so we are told in these verses that the Spirit groans, creation groans, and we as believers, we groan within ourselves. Let's look at these for a moment. We'll begin with creation. The whole creation groans with birth pangs, the Bible tells us. God has set a sell-by date on all of his creation. There's a sell-by date on your life and on my life and on this earth that we're living on. Jesus, when he spoke of the end times, the last days, and both in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, he said the signs of those days would be like the beginning of birth pangs. The signs would increase with frequency and intensity, just like a woman in labor with the contractions in labor until that child is born. So all of creation is groaning and laboring until God gives birth to a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. We're told in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12, that a day is coming when God is going to fold up all of creation just like an old garment. And Peter tells us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And so we see here that creation groans. Not only does creation groan, but we groan within ourselves. Why do we groan? If you're a true born-again believer today, you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, there's a groaning within. Why? Because we are living in these bodies of flesh and blood, these temporal bodies. We're waiting in this fallen creation. with all of its imperfections, all of the pain that goes on in life. We're waiting. And so as we're waiting for the new creation, we groan. Paul tells us that we are eagerly waiting the final fulfillment of our adoption, the redemption of the body. And I want you to look at another verse in another letter in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. I put it here in two different translations. First of all, the one that I use, the New King James. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. There's a groaning, there's a sighing that takes place. And then it tells us in the same verse in the NLT, we grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. What a great and glorious day that will be. That gives us hope in this world. And every believer, every true follower of Jesus Christ, every born-again believer, there ought to be a longing, there ought to be a sighing, there ought to be a groaning in our lives for heaven. Because this world is not our permanent home. I feel sorry for people that just think that this is it. It's all there is what this life presents. Paul's testimony in Philippians chapter 1 ought to be the testimony of every believer. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Look at what he says here. To live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I desire. I am torn, he says, between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And so, I'm pointing out to you today that creation groans, we groan, but now to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit groans. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. One of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit is to help us in prayer. And so this morning I want to suggest to you five reasons why we need the help of the Holy Spirit in the realm of prayer. Reason number one, we are all weak. We might as well just admit it. When it comes to prayer, we're sometimes weak. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. One translation says we don't even know how to pray as we should. I was thinking this week of a song that we learn as children in Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children, for the Bible tells us so. Let me get this. I should know that song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. I started thinking about that little song there. And that's not just a song for children. When you think about the bigness of God, the greatness of God, aren't we small? Aren't we little? When you think about the strength of God in comparison, we are so weak. And sometimes we're weak in prayer, but this is the good news today. In weakness, we find help in the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul found himself beaten down, and he refers to this thing that troubled him as a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. We can only speculate. But Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and it was painful. And he prayed. He begged God three times, "Lord, take this away." And you remember what the Lord said to him? The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness." Paul ended up saying, "When I'm weak, then that's when I'm strong." Because last Sunday I preached on be strong in the Lord. From Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord. It's not our strength. We're weak. But God brings the strength that we need. So number one, we are weak. That's why we need the Holy Spirit's help. Secondly, we fail to pray. And this is a catch-22, because we fail to pray because we're weak, and we're weak because we fail to pray. And I was thinking of another song. What a friend we have in Jesus. Remember that song, that hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And then you remember the other part, the other part of that verse? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Ain't that the truth? Isn't there a lot of truth in that? Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. We need to remind ourselves of that in this world. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's an invitation for you this morning. You know what God says? Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Amen. Call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things you do not know. Prayer can be exciting when we begin to pray and see God working because of our prayers. But many times we fail to pray, and failing to pray, it's more than a weakness. Hear me today. Failing to pray is a sin. I want you to look at this verse in 1 Samuel. And when you get a chance, read that verse to find the story surrounding it, the context surrounding it. I'm just giving you this one part of it, this verse. The prophet Samuel said, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray." You know what God tells us? Pray without ceasing. We ought to be living in the attitude of prayer. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Let me move on to the third reason. And please hang with me here. This is important. We lack understanding. How many of you know today that life can be like a punch in the gut? Things can happen in this life that leave you breathless. The loss of a lifelong mate or a very close friend, a financial loss, the breakup of a marriage, some kind of family problem, a prolonged or terminal illness. I could mention so many things. There are things that happen in this life because we live in a fallen creation. There are things that happen that leave us speechless. We don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray. But we groan. We groan. And that's where the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes in, because the Holy Spirit intercedes. The Holy Spirit intervenes with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit is the, this is what I wrote today, I mean this week. The Holy Spirit is the translator between we who do not know and He who does know. And so while we're groaning and we don't even have the words, God reads our hearts and the Holy Spirit is praying the right thing every time to the Father. Can you get a hold of that today? Sometimes words are hard to come by and we just have a groaning and a hurt inside of us. At the end of this month, we're going to honor our graduates, as Adam was talking about. And Pastor Adam's going to be bringing the word to the graduates on that Sunday. But I want to say this. No one ever graduates from the school of prayer. There's always more to learn. You can always go deeper in prayer. No one can stand up in church with a testimony and say, you know, the Lord has been convicting me about my prayer life and He's telling me to cut back. I've been praying too much. No. The disciples, look at this. The disciples of Jesus, of all the things they could have asked, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Why? They could have said, Lord, teach us to preach. Teach us to heal. Teach us to baptize. Teach us to do miraculous things. No, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Why? I think it's because they saw the fruitful miracle ministry of Jesus and how that was connected to prayer. So they wanted to learn how to pray. And that's where the power is, folks. That's where the source is. When we pray, we bring our needs and our hearts to the Lord. Reason number four, look at this. Here's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit in the realm of prayer. We don't always know the will of God, and we sometimes pray amiss. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And we ask and don't receive because we ask amiss. But look at this in verse 27 of this chapter we were looking at. And He who searches hearts, God searches our hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. Look at this great verse, these two verses in the epistle of 1 John. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, here's the qualifier coming up. If we ask anything according to His will. You see, that's why it's so important for the Holy Spirit to fix our prayers. As our prayers are going up, the Holy Spirit's translating. Because we pray with our natural mind. We pray what we think's best for us. And the Holy Spirit prays for us what's God's will for our lives. So, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Since I'm preaching on prayer today, there's a couple of prayer stories that I want to share with you today. Have you heard about the guy who was praying and he was talking to the Lord? And he said, oh, God, you're such a wonderful, magnificent God. And he said, how long is 1,000,000 years to you? And God spoke back to him and said, my son, 1,000,000 years to me is like 1 minute. Then he said, oh Lord, God, how much is $1,000,000 to you? And God spoke back and said, my son, $1 million to me is like one penny. And he said, Lord, would you please give me one of your pennies? And God said, in a minute. Okay. I didn't know how that would go over today. There was this elderly Christian widow. She was a real prayer warrior. I mean, she just loved the Lord, and she didn't have much in life. In fact, life was very hard and a struggle for her. But she would go out on her porch, and sometimes she would get happy and blessed, and she would just start praising God out loud. Sometimes she would just start praying out loud, and she lived next door to an atheist. And so this atheist, it just irritated him to hear her praising God and lifting up her prayers. And so one morning while he was out there working on his shrubs, he heard her praying, Lord, you know I don't have groceries this week, and I'm trusting you to provide groceries for me. And so that night, the atheist said, he went out and bought several bags of groceries, put them out there on her porch. And the next morning, he was over by the shrubs there, and she came out and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you provided these groceries for me. And the atheist jumped out and he said, God didn't provide those for you. I bought those groceries for you. And she said, Lord, thank you that you provided these groceries for me and you made the devil pay for them. Okay, hang on a minute. Remember these two stories, okay? I want to give you one final reason why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And this is really important. The Holy Spirit intensifies the need and the burden to pray. I guarantee you that until the Holy Spirit comes into your life and into your heart, you're probably not going to pray a whole lot. Unless you're in some critical situation and you just shout out a prayer. But when the Holy Spirit moves on our hearts, and I pray that for today, that the Holy Spirit would move on our hearts, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is with groanings. There's an intensity of need and the burden. You know, prayers don't have to be these long, eloquent, beautiful. You know, sometimes we hear people that can just really pray these long, eloquent prayers, and that's okay. But you remember when Peter was going down in the water, remember his prayer? Three words. Lord, save me. When he was going down. God hears a prayer like that. I sometimes think that a lot of pastor types, preachers, you know, they would have drowned on that. When the disciples were out there also, the storm came. Remember, they said, Lord, save us or we're perishing. If some preachers had been on that boat, they would have drowned, because they would have said, oh, thou magnificent creator of the universe, we come to thee on this storm-tossed night, and down they go. The point I'm making is, look, please get a hold of this. Sometimes the most intense and effective prayer aren't even in words. They're groanings too deep for words. Have you ever had a time in your life where it's like the wind has gone out of you? You can't even speak. Your heart is aching and your soul is aching. God knows our hearts. And Jesus himself knew what it was like to pray in this manner in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm coming to a close. Just hang with me here, because this is important as we come to the end of this message. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just think about, we sometimes talk about the physical suffering on the cross, and we don't want to underestimate that. It was horrible beyond words. But sometimes we forget the suffering of his soul, his spiritual suffering. When Jesus was in the garden, he sweat great drops of blood. He fell on his face. And he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." And you know, I was meditating and praying over this message, and I asked myself a question. Did Jesus ever groan? Did Jesus ever have a time where he was groaning? I found out he did. And when Lazarus died, Jesus came. And it tells us in John 11:33, Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled. This is our Lord and Savior. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then down in verse 38, he groaned within himself. It tells us twice that he groaned. Here's the good news today. We do not have one who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was tempted in all points as we are, and yet he was without sin. Thank God for our high priest. Jesus himself intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And so I have good news today. If I'm preaching this message because maybe there's someone, I prayed, Lord, if someone can bring themselves to church today, maybe they're so overwhelmed with pain that they're thinking about not even coming to church, and it's so, life is so tough, they're just paralyzed with it. I prayed, Lord, let that person come today, because if you're here today and you're hurting, you're groaning in your spirit, here's the good news. We have the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete of God, the one who encourages, comforts, the one who intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Would you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have Holy Communion today, but before we partake of this sacrament, I felt led. Sometimes we go right into Holy Communion, but I want to take a moment as Jordan leads us in a song. I want to allow God the opportunity. I want to allow you the opportunity to come to God, because God's always willing to meet you at your point of need. If you have a problem today, maybe you're hurting in your body, you need healing. Maybe it's in your soul, your spirit. Maybe someone has hurt you deeply. Maybe there's a broken relationship. Maybe there's a loss of some type in your life, and it's just like it's a dark cloud. It's just weighing upon you. The Lord is here. Maybe you're here today and you're not born again. Maybe you've been associated with church and you go through the motions, but there's something more, and you know there's something more. And the Holy Spirit is calling you today. Jesus is calling you, come. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's the one. He's calling you today. Father, I pray now over your people. I pray now, Lord, that you would touch every heart. There are some right here in this congregation, Lord, that have a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter that's bound by some kind of vice in life. Maybe it's drugs or whatever it may be. And it hurts, Lord. It hurts us when we see our loved ones going in the wrong direction. I pray, God, I pray for revival in these days. I pray, God, that many souls would come into your kingdom. I pray that you would help us in these difficulties of life. Help us to be what you would have us to be. And Lord, I pray a prayer of repentance as we did Thursday night for the church that's gone wayward. They asked me to pray for churches and pastors and families, and that's what I pray.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.